Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
How was your weekend?
It was great. How about you?
Oh, wonderful. Good. Oh, my gosh.
You had a little bit longer one than I did, and I'm happy for you about that.
Yes, I had a great time. One of you on the text line, you know I love to hike, and my daughter does too, suggested a couple of years ago, it's been on my bucket list for a while, going to ride the Virginia Creeper Trail and then going hiking in Grayson Highland State Park. I've done the Creeper Trail before. My daughter hasn't. And it was absolutely unbelievable. We ended up doing a 10-mile hike in Grayson Highland State Park. And if you've never been there before, you need to take the kids. Oh, my gosh. The grandkids, they're going to have a ball. You don't have to do the 10-mile one. You could do, like, a very short one if you want, or a 2-mile one. They have wild pony herds there. And they keep the balds clear. And so the views are just, it looks like something from Europe. And the horses are gorgeous. And it's foaling season right now. So there's all these little baby horses, which I didn't even know when we went there. So I got my daughter brand new hiking shoes for her birthday. And we broke them in. Recommend Salomon's if you're buying them. No blisters. But we had a ball and we did that all weekend. And I was pretty proud of myself. We came home yesterday. A day before yesterday, I came home Sunday, actually, after doing all of that. And she's 17, and she's in good shape. She conked out cold, slept for 2 hours. So I kept up with her and knocked her out.
There you go.
So had a fantastic
Mom still
time.
Got it.
Yes, I've still got it going on. My knees held up, you know, and went down the mountain, didn't need a rescue. So that's right. Good. And we had a great weekend, so... anyway, all right, I guess we got to do a show, right?
Why not?
Yeah, what the heck?
We're already at Tuesday, so.
Yeah, and I'm here, so might as well, right? Okay, so, let's start with the moving news. You know those pods things?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, like U-Haul, they keep a list of who's taking stuff where, and I guess people are using pods to move. I didn't know you could do that, but they are, and they do. Here's their list. So what they're showing is two things, okay? The places people are moving out of, 100% blue. Nobody is fleeing red areas. Not happening for some reason. Can't imagine why, really. Lee. It's confusing. They're even fleeing Denver, Colorado, right? One of the most beautiful places in the country. They just can't do it anymore. Los Angeles, Northern California, Long Island, San Diego, Central Jersey, Chicago, Boston, Hudson Valley, New York. They're leaving. They can't take it anymore. Where are they going? Listen to this. Of the top 10 cities, statistical areas they're moving to, which would be like city, county, right? Listen to this. South Carolina and North Carolina make up 4 of them. Of the top 10 city/county destinations in the country. Mm-hmm. Number one, Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Despite the 10 people shot in North Myrtle.
Well, it was Atlantic Beach, but yeah, it's close by.
Yeah, they listed it North Myrtle/Atlantic. Yeah. It's the same. Basically, I used to live there. It's basically the same place.
Oh, yeah, you know all about that.
It's the same place, yeah. It's one block over, but it's all the same thing. Yeah, when I saw 10 people shot South Carolina, that made top 10 news story of the weekend. And I went, I bet it's Myrtle Beach. Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Yep.
Yeah, Myrtle Beach. But whatever, if you avoid the bad areas of Myrtle Beach, it's actually quite beautiful there, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly affordable in the suburbs. Not if you're going on vacation but in the suburbs. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, number one destination in the country right now for inbound moves. So number two, Ocala, Florida. Number three, Raleigh, North Carolina. Listen to this, Lee. Number four, Greenville, Spartanburg. Mm-hmm. Fourth in the country for inbound moves. Number five, Dallas, Fort Worth. Number six, Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The station hits, you know, on a good clear day, we'll go right into the center of Charlotte's far the station reaches now. So, and we have a lot of listeners covering that. So, very interesting pod study that we are in this demand. At the same time, you know, your news earlier a few minutes ago really struck a chord with me because there are so many homes for sale in my neighborhood and they're not moving. I've never seen so many homes for sale in my neighborhood. People, there were, I mean, many, many months, no homes for sale because it was just so hopeless, right? And now they're sitting there, and I watch them when we walk. They just are sitting on the market.
So if we're one of the top destinations, then why are they having a hard time selling the houses?
It's the mortgages. I know it's okay. It's my husband's business. When people call up, same thing, 7%, are you kidding me? That's the first thing. And then number two is that they always say the same thing. I couldn't afford to buy my current house today. Mm-hmm. And they're shocked, but because people, if you're not in the market for a home, you don't know how bad these mortgage rates are. And the fact that the housing market has been decimated. I talk about this all the time, Lee, and the middle class dream. Who decimated the middle class dream? That was Congress. Congress did that, and Joe Biden did that with inflation. And that's what the heart of this debate about the big, beautiful bill is about. Are we going to have a middle class that can buy homes? Are we going to have to keep a 7% mortgage rate to keep members of Congress fat and happy? And when you've got a bill that takes the deficit from $2 trillion to $2.2 trillion by the end of the year, that is not the right direction. It's not. And, you know, there was some criticism for me on some national shows for not jumping on board the big, beautiful bill and telling you it's the greatest thing ever. But I'm here to tell you, in Realville, where I live, in my neighborhood, right here in the number 4 inward-bound destination in the country, we can't move houses. And it's not because there aren't buyers for the houses. It's the mortgage rates. Congress did that. The cost of the big, beautiful bill, which spends at Biden levels plus, and the Biden level spending, which the GOP has done. Don't blame Democrat. GOP's done this for, we've controlled Congress since 2022. What is the cost of that? What really is the cost of that? My neighbors can't sell their homes. People who want to buy their homes can't afford it. You know what's really interesting, too, Lee? I'm in a terrifying situation in my house. I have 2 teenagers learning to drive.
Yes,
can you imagine?
You have my sympathies, yeah.
Yes. I've nearly died many times. There's nothing will renew your faith in God like driving with a teenager. Oh, wait, you're right, Mom. The other side of the road. I was going the wrong way. Okay. So we're driving around some of the beautiful areas of Greenville and the surrounding areas that they're building subdivisions in, right? And when these subdivisions started kind of pre-COVID and during COVID, they were houses that people were going to buy. You know, that's how it was, you know, they have a sign outside, you know, starting at whatever, 200,000, 300,000, and they were houses. And I haven't paid much attention to them, right? But we're driving on country roads now, so we, you know, can't crash into anybody or hurt anybody. There's not a lot of people back there. And we're learning to drive. And I'm going by those neighborhoods I haven't really seen since COVID, right? Well, they're not houses anymore. They're rental neighborhoods. They've changed them into rental neighborhoods. There are whole neighborhoods full of houses that were supposed to be for sale, and now they're all for rent. I've never seen such a thing. Congress did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't tell me the Democrats did it. They did. Biden did it. We had to slap the high interest rates to get them down, and take care of what they did, but Republicans have continued it. It's a both-party problem right now. They did that. They took the American dream from the middle class. They took it. And I see it every day. I see it on the phone with my husband, the shock people who come to the horrible conclusion. I mean, people are out shopping for homes. They find a home they can afford. They're excited. They call him because he's a mortgage guy. And they call him and realize they've just wasted all the time they spent getting a realtor, shopping for a home. They can't afford it. They can't afford, not at 7%. This big, beautiful bill doubles down on that. It does. But we're going to get into it today, Lee. It's very interesting what's going on here, the fight Trump is about to have and the Republicans are about to have. And I think I know what they're all doing. I think they want to pass this bill, make the K Street lobbyists happy, assure everyone they have squeezed every last dollar out of the middle class and no one will ever be able to afford a house again. And it's all there for the lobbyists to take. And then I think what they are counting on is that Trump will come back through rescissions and impoundments and not spend the money. I think that's what they're cutting. I think that's what Trump's counting on too. Knowing that if we actually did the cuts in Congress, we can't get these bills through. It's a really crazy situation. It could work. That's the weird thing. It could actually work. But first, we got to get this big, beautiful bill through the Senate. But I wanted y'all to know, you know how the traffic has grown around here and the waits have gotten longer at the lights and the block in the box? Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. Not with us being the number four destination for inbound moves in the nation right now. Just Katie bar the door. Everybody's moving to South Carolina and those that aren't are moving to North Carolina. Well, producer Tim, number one story in the country. Very sad, too. Duck Dynasty is short. One duck, Phil Robertson, no longer with us. Here's a commercial for their company.
Come home with us. Let's go back to our roots. The Blue Wings are on the move. The grand passage has begun. Brush your blinds. Grab your gun. Let's go kill some ducks, boys. Boss Bird, built rugged, proudly American. Just like us.
Did you ever watch that, Tim?
No, I never really watched Duck Dynasty. My parents did, though.
Yeah.
I know a lot about it. I never really got into it.
Yeah, he was absolutely an icon. And, you know, originally just, you know, one of those earlier really successful reality television shows.
Yeah, very successful.
Yeah. And then the family in its own right became kind of a sort of religious political dynasty on top of it.
They did.
That people would follow. This is just an example. One of the things that the guys in the family were known for were their iconic beards.
See, you came out of your mother's womb, you reached a certain majority of years, and hair started coming forth from your face. So we usually remind people that the only two people who do not have whiskers are women and children, and we are neither of those.
Yeah. That's facts.
So, really interesting. I didn't know this. And so sad that, you know, so sad that he's gone. But the show is going on. They've actually got a new season of the reality show debuting June 1st.
Really?
So, yes.
I guess it's centered around the rest of his family?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
That's cool.
And they'll be in good hands. I didn't know this. Phil Robertson played quarterback for Louisiana Tech University. His backup was a guy by the name of Terry Bradshaw.
Really?
Which you might have heard of. Yes.
Wow.
And they're saying Phil was good enough that he could have gone pro, but he was more interested in hunting. And so he didn't.
There you go.
Yeah, and you know, follow your passion.
There you go, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
And it worked out for him. Started the family hunting company Duck Commander in 1972 with a now patented duck call. You heard it there in the last commercial. So.
Yeah, and he also then he went on to have a TV show, which was very successful.
Yeah, so very sad. He had been suffering from Alzheimer's disease, they say, and also a blood disorder.
Oh, I hate that disease. It's such a terrible disease.
I know. It's terrible. We're going to figure it out. We're going to cure it someday.
Oh, I hope so.
Me too. He was 79 years old. So a life well lived. And that's always, in my opinion, something to celebrate.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. So again, it's and the new, if you want to look it up, Duck Dynasty, the revival debuts this Sunday on A&E. So, okay. Moving on, though, getting back to the serious stuff that we've been talking about here. Okay, so a lot of interesting stuff going on. Trump begged them, sent Caroline Leavitt out to do it in January and February, even before he was sworn in, please get started on funding my agenda, please. But they were too busy vacationing and I think deliberately dragging their feet out. So now we're in this crazy situation. It took till almost June for Republicans to get around, and they weren't doing anything. We documented this February, March. They were doing nothing. They're just dragging their feet. Why? Because there is still a Republican caucus that wants illegal immigrants and wants to make it very hard for Trump to deport them. And the more they drag their feet, the easier it is to slow Trump down. So we are almost at June. And we have a bill that we don't have the votes to pass in the Senate, We've got conservatives in the Senate saying, no way, you will bankrupt the country. And then we've got others in the Senate saying, we don't like salt. And it's just, it's going to be, they're going to have to rewrite the whole thing, Ted Cruz said, and or big parts of it anyway. It's going to take a while. And we are going to lose a year. We're going to lose a year. But I think that was on purpose. I think that was the goal. Now, here's the thing. There are some really good things in the Big Beautiful Bill. Funding for 10,000 more ICE agents, which would more than double the current 5,000 that are being used for deportations. Funding for 100,000 more illegal alien beds. Again, we needed this in February. We needed this in March. You can see why. And a lot of these guys are sleeper cells, quite frankly, in the Senate and in the House. They were brought in by Karl Rove and the Bushes. And it's almost a religious, open borders, almost a religious fervor with those people. And those Republicans were brought in for one reason and one reason only, and that is to keep the borders open and to sabotage anything that would keep us from getting there. Remember, who was the original guy behind amnesty? Who was it? I was doing talk radio then. I remember. It was not Barack Obama. It was George Bush. George Bush tried like the Dickens to get amnesty. Lindsey Graham tried to help him. So did Marco Rubio. They were part of Gang of Eight. All the people, the Republicans who swept in during the Bush years under Karl Rove are there to get amnesty and to get as many illegals into this country. I don't know why they're obsessed with it. They make big, big money continuing to keep these Republicans in Congress with the donations of companies who support the same thing. They want to slow roll Trump's agenda. And that's what's happening here. We're going to win. They did this last time under Paul Ryan, who was the worst of the worst. Thought Paul Ryan literally said when he was speaker, anyone, anywhere should be able to come here to America and compete with Americans for jobs. Anybody, anywhere in the world. Screw Americans. That is the mantra. And Trump is fighting that. In the Big Beautiful Bill, $47 billion for a border wall. We really need that. Sink them bollards into the ground. Why? Because it's going to be hard for Democrats to rip them up once we get them in. I mean, bury them so they can't put the tunnels under. Got to get that done. $47 billion for that. 3,000 new Border Patrol agents. 5,000 new customer officials. $2 billion for signing and retention bonuses to hire. And a $1,000 fee on migrants seeking asylum. They pay us instead of we pay them. It's a great idea. The plan is to deport 1 million annually and house 100,000 in detention centers. Again, we needed this in February. We need it in March. There was no reason that Mike the Knife and John Thune could not get this done over Christmas. Could not get this done in January. Have all of the work done. So as soon as Trump gets sworn in on January 20th, bam, we hit the ground running. So $5 billion more for the border, $21 billion to restock ammunition, $34 billion for more shipbuilding, $25 billion for Golden Dome. So there's a lot of good stuff in here, and they're holding Trump hostage and saying, well, you know, we're going to get to spend ourselves into practically a drunken state if you want this stuff. And Trump says, fine, pass it. Don't care. Get it to the Senate. Get it to my desk. Because every month he loses, we're not getting these illegals out at the rate we could be. And what Trump is planning, and this hasn't been explained, Trump's not going to make a big deal out of this, okay, because it would make the Republicans mad. What Trump is planning to do is what are called rescission bills. So that's 9 rescission bills. What does that do? That'll do the Doge cuts. He's not going to do all the Doge cuts. He's already said that. But it will do Doge cuts, and it'll do things like the first one defunds PBS. It saved $9 billion. And you could pass them through the House and the Senate with 51 votes. Or 51% in the House, 51 votes in the Senate. We don't need 2/3. And so this is why Trump doesn't care how much money these bills spend. Because he's telling, I'm gonna put the rescission bills through Congress. Will they pass? I don't know. The other thing Trump's getting ready to do is something called impound. He's already done it, actually, 40 times. He's got, the GAO has 40 investigations open into him. A lot of those will end up in the courts where he's just going, I'm not spending the money. Sorry. And then they got this other thing going on where Scott Bessent has kind of let the cat out of the bag a little, but they're not talking about it, where over a third of the expenditures coming out of the Treasury were fraudulent. They were ineligible is what he says, instead of fraud. They know that money's a lot of that. Some of those will be accidents. People had the wrong code. They entered the wrong thing. They were legit. A lot of that will be fraud and waste. And they know they can cut that. They know they can cut that, but they're going to need a court battle to do it. And they don't want to give the Republican Congress the number because they'll just go ahead and spend it. Trump wants to cut it later. That's why he does not care about what the bottom line number is here. Gonna be interesting. So buckle up. I've got a whole lot more coming up next. Yo, I'm not sure building the state's tourism strategy, South Carolina's tourism strategy around Myrtle Beach is maybe the best idea. Made it national. Folks, there were a lot of shootings, a lot of violence, always is around Memorial Day. Next big one will be July 4th, people shooting, you know, shooting each other, doing things like that. Normally it happens in places like Chicago, and the death toll is incredible. This year, South Carolina, 10 dead, single event. Not dead, excuse me, shot. Very violent. Saw the headline in the top 10. The app shows us top 10 stories in the country. I went, said South Carolina, 10 shot. I said, I bet it's in Myrtle. Yeah, it's Myrtle, but how did I know? It's bike week. I used to live there, so I'm really, Myrtle Beach is a shockingly violent place. There are parts that are like Chicago. In fact, if you don't live there and you don't know where they are, you're in danger. Now, if you live there, it's like anywhere else. I mean, I bet you if you live in Chicago, you're perfectly safe because you know where to go and you know definitely like not where to go and you know definitely not when to go. So the first thing I did was, it's bike week where everyone goes to get shot. Like I said, building the state's tourism plan around Myrtle Beach, I'm just not sure it's what we need to do going forward, not needing to make those kind of national headlines, but whatever. All right, moving on to how they're going to do this. You saw the bond market last week freak. They freaked out. In fact, MSN.com used the word freak out. And it was appropriate. It was appropriate because simple math shows us there are not enough buyers of bonds on the planet to buy the bonds Congress is getting ready to float. It's a Ponzi scheme. It is. So what do they do about that? Well, what's it been, a week and a half ago now, quietly, because we didn't want anyone to notice, the Federal Reserve printed a bunch of money, about $40 billion, and quietly bought up bonds that are just sitting out there because nobody wants them. There's just too many. There's not enough human beings to buy them. Normally, when we do what's called quantitative easing, buy our own bonds back, normally when we do that, we make a big announcement because the stock market likes it. We didn't. We didn't make an announcement. Fed didn't announce it. In fact, almost nobody noticed. That's not a good sign. Bond market did not like it. So what do? We're getting ready to print a whole lot more money and flood that same market with a whole lot more bonds. Why? I don't know. We do stupid things. Meanwhile, you can see what's happened. So this is the problem with this bill, okay? And this is what Rand Paul is saying when he said this over the weekend, Senator Rand Paul.
Somebody has to stand up and yell, the emperor has no clothes.
Yep.
And everybody's falling in lockstep on this. Pass the big, beautiful bill. Don't question anything. Well, conservatives do need to stand up and have their voice heard. This is a problem we've been facing for decades now. And if we don't stand up on it, I really fear the direction the country is going.
The senator, the speaker is.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that we're going to, and that's why the Fed was quietly buying those bonds back. They didn't want anybody to notice there's not enough buyers for them. And Congress's solution is, hey, we'll flood the market with more. Why not? What could go wrong? Now, let me tell you why Trump's not freaked out about this, okay? And to make this all make sense. Trump's plan, and it's not a bad one if it works, is look, these Republicans in Congress are ridiculous. The Republican leadership is ridiculous. He's going to pass this whole thing. Hopefully the bond market doesn't crash watching it. And then he's going to come back and he's going to use two things. Rescission, he's got 9 bills ready to go. We hope they use them, which means what? You have to That's how they'll do the Doge cuts and cuts to other stuff that Doge didn't fund, like PBS. The first bill is $9 billion. It's ready to go after this bill passes. So we're going to fund PBS and then we're going to unfund PBS. It saves about $9 billion and it only needs 51 votes in the Senate, 51% in the House. And so what Trump is counting on is that the top line number might scare the heck out of the bond markets, but we're not actually going to spend it. That's when the real fight's going to begin. Now, here's his problem. Number one, can he pass these rescission bills through the House? Don't know. Can he pass them through the Senate? Don't know. He would have to put a lot of pressure on Republicans. Look, if you're a Republican, you can't vote to defund PBS. Maybe you deserve to lose your primary. And that's how it's going to have to go. He's going to do this other thing, though, called impoundment. And that is all of this, folks, where we are financially in this country is so incredibly risky right now. This could work. It could work. It may not work. It's called impoundment. What does that mean? Where the president just says, I'm not spending it. I mean, you guys can approve it over there in Congress. I'm not spending it. Make me. Now, here's the thing. Thomas Jefferson did this. He was the first one to use the impoundment. No, I'm not spending it. Refused to spend $50,000 on 15 new gunboats. Said, nope, not doing it. It went to the Supreme Court. He won. So Trump is going to take this to the Supreme Court. That's the plan. Problem is, Nixon took it to the Supreme Court. He lost. Bigly. He lost 0-8. So the odds here that they're going to let Trump impound this money are not high. However, what kind of things are we talking about impounding? This is where this is going to get interesting. For instance, headline, Doge has found $15 billion in Medicaid fraud, waste, and abuse. So are we going to have Supreme Court justices say, nope, Trump's got to pay out the fraud? This is coming. You're going to have, I will do the story. I just don't know the day I'm going to do it on yet because it's coming. We are going to have liberal judges, liberal judicial dictators order Trump to pay out fraud. That will happen. We're going to have them order him to pay out waste. And he's going to come back and say, wait a minute, this isn't like Nixon. What happened with Nixon was Democrats passed the Clean Water Act. And it spent a whole ton of money and sent it to Democrat states. Nixon vetoed it. Democrats overrode him. And he said, fine, you can't make me spend the money. I'm not going to do it. And it went to the Supreme Court. He lost. But that was on a legitimate issue. That's where Doge comes in. Are we seriously going to have judges, liberal judges, order Trump to pay out fraud and waste? We are. Why? Because it all goes to Democrats. That's why. Maybe a couple of Republicans, too. So this is just tip of the iceberg. Doge has found $14 billion in Medicaid fraud, waste, and abuse. So what are they doing right now? Mike DeKnife and John Thune will fund it on the front end because they don't have the gonads to cut it. And then they're going to let Trump do the dirty work on the back end and liberal judges will try to stop them. Meanwhile, they're giving Trump almost no cover in these bills so that liberal judges can stop him. Why? Because they just want to spend the money. They don't care. Congress is crazy. Our leaders in Congress are crazy. They're literally full on cuckoo. And Trump knows that. He's just trying to get his agenda through on the back of whatever waste fraud they want to fund. And then he's going to go in and cut it himself. So why is Elon Musk so upset? Elon Musk threw his hands up over the weekend, walked away. And I don't blame him. Because the deal going in that Trump made and Musk made that they have reneged on was, hey, we'll cut this stuff. And then there was going to be savings. We weren't going to spend it. Musk thought that he was preventing America from going bankrupt. And by the way, he lost 25% of his net worth doing it. And then Congress just went, oh, did you find some stuff to cut? Cool, we'll just spend that somewhere else. So we're still going bankrupt. That's why Musk is mad. But we can still do the Doge cuts with rescission and impoundment, but Trump's going to have to win a lot of court cases to do it. And he's going to have to get the votes. It's going to be very hard. That's where we are, though. So we'll see how it goes. Text your edge on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. Every member of Congress would be unable to keep a job in the private sector because they would still reflexively refuse to do what their bosses told them to do. Now, the texter writes, wow, Tara goes on vacay and comes back overdosed on Trump hopium. You thought that was hopeful? No, it's going to be tough. Really? I mean, he's going to either have to win at the Supreme Court to do impoundment or he's going to have to get rescissions through Congress to do the Doge cuts. Or we're going to freak out the bond market. Look, here's the thing. They're holding Trump's agenda hostage. They're basically saying to him, either we get to bankrupt the country with this stupid bill and you're going to back it because everything you need to do the deportation is in this bill. If they had any sense, they'd rein the judges in with this bill, too. They did a little bit of that, but word is the Senate's going to strip it out. So it's a mess. Meanwhile, probably the most epic Memorial Day statement from a president anywhere at any time in American history, happy Memorial Day to all, Trump posted, including the scum that spent the last 4 years trying to destroy our country through warped radical left minds who allowed 21 million people to illegally enter our country, many of them being criminals and the mentally insane, through an open border that only an incompetent president would approve and through judges who are on a mission to keep murderers, drug dealers, rapists, gang members, and released prisoners from all over the world in our country so they can rob, murder, and rape again, all protected by these USA-hating judges who suffer from an ideology that is sick and very dangerous for our country. This is his Memorial Day message. And very dangerous for our country. Hopefully the United States Supreme Court and other good and compassionate, passionate judges throughout the land will save us from the decisions of the monsters. He's calling these judges monsters. He's not wrong. Of the monsters who want our country to go to hell. But fear not, Trump writes. We have made great progress over the last 4 months and America will soon be safe and great again. Again, happy Memorial Day and God bless America. Oh, all right. I'd jump back on the common sense retirement planning text line. Texter writes, Rand should be president. He knows way more than Trump. Another texter writes, I wish people would shut up about the tax cuts. If the bill is deficit spending, then there are no tax cuts, only tax increases. Another texter writes, I didn't know there was so many. There were that many biker weeks in May. I remember spring rally is the second week of May and Black Bike Week is the last week. Now we've had two bike weeks back to back, White Bike Week and then Black Bike Week. I think they should just make one bike week and get all of the murder over at one time, because that way you don't have 2 weeks of bad headlines. It's only 1 week of murder in Murder Beach. Again, making national headlines for the violence. And you know the Myrtle Beach Chamber, they're going to run those ads. Bring your kids! Hard pass.